the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL Wire site that covers your Arizona Cardinals, recording on a Thursday afternoon, the day after the schedule release. With me is co-host Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site, and also one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast, Seth. We get to talk about the schedule and make some stupid early time predictions, but hey, it's, you know, this is kind of interesting. I will say that our predictions were stupid. I did hit week 17 and 18 and nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's tough, man. I mean, you look at it, I don't want to say they got a pretty good schedule in the sense of how it fell, but I was surprised that both Green Bay and Buffalo were before.
Yeah, the weather weather games are great. Yeah. The weather games are great. They don't have
that was one of the key things you and I talked about is we just assumed one of those games would be in December. And now they technically do have one, but Minnesota's indoors, so it doesn't matter. And so we kind of assumed either Minnesota would be where Buffalo or Green Bay is, and they would have forced the Cardinals to play one of those outdoor games. But I mean, you look at how they did a lot of things this year, and it just seems to be that the NFL is trying to set up most teams for success as best as possible. I mean, you look at the Detroit Lions and something absurd, like their first nine games are indoors. Like, you know, Jared Goff's splits when you're talking about indoors versus outdoors are absurd. And so it's just interesting to see how everything kind of fell the way it did. And we'll talk about it, but you know, the first 6 weeks are brutal.
Yeah, they've got a brutal schedule. In fact, let's start with that. If you haven't heard the schedule yet, let's go ahead and run it down for you week by week. The Cardinals will start off on the road week one, at the Buffalo Bills, followed by three home games in a row. I honestly did not expect that. This has never happened since I've covered the team.
Well, and remember, a lot of the time, the Cardinals used to be the road team in September, specifically because of how hot it was.
Yeah, this is a long time ago, but
yeah, that was 16 years ago. But that was that was how it started, right?
Like, yeah.
And so you look at that and you go, okay, we've just never seen three in a row September home games. Just not something that you see on this schedule very often.
But the trade-off is they have three back-to-back road games.
They do, but the nice thing is about all of those is they are spread out. Like, yeah. The December, January ones are kind of lumped together, but at the same time, you know, you look at how this all kind of fell, and after the first six games, you really feel good about what the schedule is. And you know, you don't want to say the first six games of the season are going to define this team, but
it will more or less define the type of season they're going to have.
Right. You want to see this team, and I know this sounds crazy when I'm going to say this, but you want to see this team be at worst 2-4 in that first six games, and anything above 2-4, you feel like, damn, this might be a playoff team. Like that's legitimately how you kind of start it, because I mean, they play, you know, one of the perennial contenders in the AFC. Then they play the reigning NFC champions who are also in their division. They play the runner-up NFC team who is everybody's darling to be back in the NFC Championship game again. And then they play the team that should have beat the 49ers. Let's just be honest. I mean, and then you just throw in, you know, ho-hum the Rams who own the Cardinals under Sean McVay. And realistically, like those first six games, you know, not obviously talking about the Washington Commanders, are that's an incredibly rigorous schedule. Yes. And the fact that it's three on the road and three at home, but they're spread out the way they are, is another like crazy way that this all fell.
Okay. Yes. Back to going down the schedule. So week one, Buffalo on the road. Week two, at home against the Rams. So they have a home opener in the division against the Rams, followed by the Lions in week three at home, and then the Cliff Kingsbury, Jaden Daniels homecoming in week four at home before they go on the road in week five to face the 49ers, on the road in week six to face the Packers in October. Not a bad deal. They return home for a Monday night game against the Los Angeles Chargers. We'll talk a little bit more about what that means. It's their one primetime game. Then they go on the road in week eight to face the Miami Dolphins, come home week nine, face the Bears. Then they play a second home game in a row against the Jets. And so they have two games going into home games going into the bye week in week 11. After their week 11 bye, on the road in Seattle, then on the road at Minnesota, back at home against Seattle. So they're going to face the Seahawks, which is this is an interesting scenario in the fact that this is a new coaching staff, and the Cardinals will face that Seahawks team twice in the second half of the season when they're probably going to be what they are, like in terms of whether if they're going to be decent, they will be decent by then. Week 15 at home against the Patriots, on the road against Carolina, on the road against the Rams, and then closing the season at home against the 49ers. And that is the full schedule. You mentioned it, brutal start. They play five playoff teams from last season in the first 6 weeks. But, you know, I like that in one sense, because if this team is doing what it's supposed to do, like if it is making the progress that we believe they can make, they shouldn't drown. And basically those first 6 weeks, those first 9 weeks on the, you know, the first 6 weeks, if they can stay afloat, they could make a late push. They could, because the schedule opens up towards the end. Obviously, you've got the Commanders coming to town. You've got some notable matchups. You get Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels coming back to town. Cliff Kingsbury in week four. Obviously, he was the head coach here for several years. Got fired. It's his return. Jaden Daniels played for Arizona State. He returns to play here. Obviously, week one, you get the Hale Murray rematch, but in Buffalo, division matchups are always nice. Green Bay on the road, so you're going to face Jordan Love. The Chargers, we'll see about them, how they look. That's still the first half of the season with that new Jim Harbaugh-led team. Week eight in Miami, that's the kind of the dicey play. Will Tua be hurt? We'll get the Bears at midpoint, which means you're probably going to get the version of Caleb Williams that finishes the season is probably going to be hitting his stride right about week nine. That week 10 game against the Jets, who knows if it'll be Aaron Rodgers, who's going to be hurt, and then obviously they play 1, 2, 3, 4 division games in their final seven, and closing it out with it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Any other initial takeaways that you got just from the schedule? I was like, it's brutal early, opens up at the end, just the one primetime game, and honestly, I don't care. And they didn't get any of the special games. So the Cardinals still aren't there. They're not there yet. They're not getting those special games. They didn't get any of the – they didn't get Thursday. They didn't get – they didn't – well, they weren't going to – they didn't get a Thursday. They didn't get Thanksgiving. They didn't get Black Friday. They didn't get that special Saturday game.
And they didn't get any international games.
And they didn't get any international games either. So,
yeah, I mean, I guess that's good for us. We don't have to be up at 6 a.m. So that's
always, that is fun. True.
You know, the first reaction is that it's a team or it's a schedule for a team that they're like, we just don't know. And I think that's a fair thing. Like, you know, we have hope and expectation is probably the wrong word, but we're hopeful that this team is not just competent but competitive and can put forth a season where we see 8 to 9 wins at minimum. But also, you know, the defense was so porous last year. Your expectation levels for, you know, some of these rookies, especially obviously Marvin Harrison, are going to be outrageously high. So it's just there's a lot of questions that still have to be answered, and it's fair that they're still out there because that's the only way you're going to answer them. So I think this schedule overall, you know, is more than fair, but it also shows that everybody's kind of still wondering what the Arizona Cardinals with Kyler Murray under Jonathan Gannon are going to be.
But yeah, I do like this is the type of schedule, like especially with the brutal start, if they get a little bit of momentum, a little bit, you know, we saw what the Texans did last year. It has that type of schedule because you play tough teams early. If you can, you know, if you go 3-3 in those first,
yeah, 6 games,
those first 6 games, then you're really setting yourself up nicely for the rest of the year.
Well, and that's what you look at, right? Is that from the jump you get a team that projects to be good, and you know that's easy enough to say, but Buffalo.
But at the same time, they're a team that looks quite different because they have a new receiving core. We've seen and we've seen Buffalo start the season erratic offensively.
Right, and you look at it. I mean, you're talking about a team that, you know, is this going to be another 13 win season, or will they be a team that finishes with, you know, 10-11 wins like they have? And it's kind of funny since 2019. I mean, Josh Allen came in 2017, I believe, if I remember right, but don't quote me on that. It might have been 2018.
Because that was the Astros in here.
Okay, yeah, so 2018, you know, it's kind of funny since after his, you know, rookie season, 6 losses, 3 losses, 6 losses, 3 losses, 6 losses. So is this, you know, are they on that side? Will there be...
This is the 3-loss 14-3 team.
Right, or is, as you pointed out, is that, and you don't want to say is that ship sailed, but like... This is a very different looking team without Stephon Diggs, without that defense, you know, that defense that has been around for so long and so potent. You know, I don't think people understand how good their defense has been under Sean McDermott with this group of defensive players, especially, you know, the guys
and,
in the secondary.
That secondary is completely remade.
And that's where my question. I'm not of the opinion that Josh Allen is just, you know, he's the number 2 quarterback, blah, 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 like some people are, but I do have respect for who he is and what he is. But I really think, you know, Mecha Hyde and Jordan Poyer, they're gone. You know, you mentioned the Tre'Davious White, you know, gone. Like those guys are gone from a secondary that was ferocious. Their pass rush, you know, they were, I mean, Leonard Floyd gone. You know, they still have Ed Oliver, but After that, they really, you know, Greg Rousseau hasn't really lived up to the hype. Jordan Phillips kind of fell off that cliff again. And so, like, what do they have there? It's going to be interesting because, but you get a team that's expectation are high. Then you get Los Angeles. And again, what's the expectation? You know, Matt Stafford kind of turned back the clock last year, but similar to how we just discussed.
They transitioned so quickly to an aging team. To a team with very right. promising young players. And now, well, mind you, this is going to be different because this is without Aaron Donald now. And so,
well, and that's just
how will that defense look without him? How will Kobe Turner on the interior look without Aaron Donald next to him?
Well, and kind of like what we talked about, you know, Matt Stafford is the same 12-5 wins the Super Bowl in his, you know, first year, with the Rams in 2021, and then they go 3-6 in his injury plagued 9-game season. And then he comes back last year, goes 9-6 in 15 games. They, you know, like you said, they look great. You're like, man, I can't figure this team out.
Stafford doesn't look as great though. You can tell that, like, he had a good season by all means, but he had,
I mean, you're talking about a 36-year-old quarterback that's right. missed a ton of time in the NFL. From injuries.
He's coming down from special to efficient.
I mean, it's kind of the Carson Palmer-esque end of things. Like you see the fall off, and you're not saying it in a negative way. You're just saying it in a realistic way. Like, this is a guy that is clearly at the end of his career and still has these incredible flashes of brilliance, but is 36, has missed, you know, swaths of time over his career. And how do they react and respond to that? And like you said, the biggest one for them is simply Aaron Donald. I mean, you're talking about the greatest player of a generation. He's gone. And it, you know, you can do as much as you want getting Jared Verse, getting Braden Fisk. You can do that. It's not Aaron Donald. And so how does that defense look and respond without having, you know, legitimately the greatest player of the last, you know, last, what, 7-8 years? How does that go? And so we'll see how that works itself out. And where that puts them moving forward. But that's, you know, that's where they're at. And then it's just, you know, then it's a normal kind of schedule from there. You've got the Lions, who are, like I said, phenomenal. You've got the Commanders, who we just don't know anything about. And you know, but from there, it's your standard, like, hey, let's see where this team is. And I think there's no expectation, I think, in that first San Francisco game, right? Like, you and I are going to do our way too early predictions in a minute, and we're both going to say week 5 October 6th is a loss because it's at San Francisco, like, whatever. But I think that's the first game that you look at and you go, unless they're 0-4, in which case you're like, this team's awful. But yeah, like, that's the first game you look at, if they're, whether they're 4-0, 3-1, or 1-3, and you're like, okay, let's measure them at this point. Like, where are they at? And if they go in and they play competitively and the 49ers are on their game, but the Cardinals can respond and keep things close, a loss even and at that time, you go, okay, this team is where I expected them to be and they're competing. Whereas, like, even if they're 4-0 and they go to San Francisco and get blown out, you're like, they're just not ready yet, right? Like, and yeah, you can have a bad day and whatnot, but it's like, this is the game that's going to be the measuring stick, because this is still the mountain you have to climb, not just in the NFC, but in the NFC West, if you want to truly be a competitive, you know, team that you look at as a true threat to the NFC, you know, crown.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Series podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's talk about the matchups we're looking most forward to and break it down into, like we did last year. Should win, no chance games, and then kind of the in-betweens. That's coming up next on Rise Up Series. We're back on the Rise of Seared podcast, best our Cardinals talk. And we're going to dive a little deeper into the schedule a little bit. I did want to kind of point out one thing, and if we're diving into this a little bit. It was kind of – the Cardinals got a primetime game, but the primetime game that they got shows what they kind of think of the Cardinals because it's a JV game. It's a JV game. It's an alternate broadcast on Monday Night Football Week 7. It's an ESPN marketing ploy to get ESPN Plus subscribers because the Ravens and Buccaneers will be on the regular Monday night broadcast on ABC and ESPN. They're in Tampa Bay. They'll have the countdown to kickoff crew out there. They'll have the regular broadcast crew, Kirk Herbstreit and them. And then the Cardinals, 45 minutes after that game kicks off, will kick off here in Arizona, streaming only on ESPN Plus. Now, Cardinals fans, you guys don't need to. If you're here local in the viewing area in the Phoenix area, if you're a Chargers fan in the Chargers viewing area, we will all be able to watch that game on local over the air network TV. That's always the deal. Local markets always get that. But it's a throwaway game, so if the one game gets out of hand, there's this alternate game, or maybe they're trying to get a few more eyeballs from the West Coast on it. But like the fact that their only primetime game is an alternate broadcast that'll have the B team, it'll have their B team broadcast team. It's only on ESPN Plus. And of course it's against the Chargers, and honest to goodness, the Chargers, for as much promise as they offer every year, you know what they are? They are an unimpressive viewing team. Like Cardinals Chargers doesn't, like, in terms of football, it's important, but in terms of fan interest, never going to move the needle.
Right. And that wasn't a surprise. We did wonder maybe if, you know, Washington, Chicago, Minnesota, one of those could get a Thursday night game. You know, Kyler Murray against one of these, you know, rookie quarterbacks, maybe even Carolina.
Oh, come on. They could have done the Thursday night game against Green Bay like they had here, you know, give it a couple of rematches. You have the AJ Green rematch. I would have done it differently, but nobody cares about the Cardinals.
Right, exactly.
Like, so that's the thing. That's the thing that we understand as Cardinals fans, having grown up here, having watched the team. When it comes to national interest, nobody around the NFL considers the Cardinals until they've actually shown something. 2016, there were high expectations of the Cardinals because they went 13-3 the year before. There is never buzz leading up, so it is always they have to prove it before they start getting attention, and that's how it is. Otherwise, they have a good season. The next season, they're going to be intriguing, but no one will ever anticipate the Cardinals having a good season without having had it first.
Right. And so that's, you know, like you said, we're just used to that at this point, and we'll see how that plays out. Because that's the nice thing about the flex schedule now is that if Minnesota and Arizona are both good teams, that's an intriguing game later in the year that you can flex to, you know, NBC, or I guess they can even do Monday Night Football now, right? So it's, you know, you have those options, and especially, you know, Minnesota, a huge fan base. But that's the other thing that's tough, is that outside of the division games, there's really no games that look flexible.
No, not really.
In that easier portion of the schedule. I mean, unless both teams between the Bears and the Cardinals, or the Jets and the Cardinals, and I doubt CBS would give up that Jets Cardinals game. Because remember, they have like veto power over.
Yes, they do. They can protect certain matchups.
Yeah. So, you know, if both teams are competitive, and the Jets, you know, with their six primetime games before that.
Let's be honest. Even like a 4:25 start, that you could end up being the game of the week. Like, right. If you ever watch the TV maps, it was like that late game, that 4 p.m. Eastern, the one or 2 o'clock start game for us. One of the networks will have like two games, and every once in a while they'll have it exclusive. And you know, if it's that good, they might do that.
Well, so that's just it. So those are, you know, it might happen, but this isn't surprising. And like I said, down the stretch, Chicago has to be good. The Jets have to be healthy. They're going to be good if they're healthy. I mean, I think you and I both agree with that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then the Cardinals have to be good on the flip side if it needs to, if it's going to be Seattle in either week 12 or week 14 or LA, San Francisco late in the season. So like that's where it comes in. So I think week 7 makes sense. There's a chance the Cardinals are 2-4 at that point. And people are like, why is this the, you know, like you said, the other Monday Night Football game?
And it's just grabbing that West Coast. It's all that it's getting it really the West is. Coast involved is all that is. Last year when we went through the schedule and said the no shot games, you're looking at the schedule, there's really only kind of two that you go, no chance, right? You generally say Buffalo's a no chance game, and then the 49ers game on the road. The rest of them.
Well, and even that Buffalo game, I mean, right, typically you would say that, but we've seen that opening day games are very tricky for a lot of teams simply because you have an entire offseason to game plan. Now, yeah. The Bills coming in different are, you know, does make that a little different, but we've seen in the past where teams have surprised other teams in game one of the season and then gone on to be, you know, piss poor. I mean, yeah. Even last year the Cardinals surprised the Commanders and had a chance to win that game. You know, the only game I remember in the last couple of seasons being that embarrassing blowout was the Chiefs game, right? Where it looked like the Cardinals didn't belong.
Yeah, that's usually the case. Like in terms of when I handicap games in weeks 1 and 2, I give the home opening team a little extra juice. Right. And so that's the reason why I look at that Buffalo game. Well, there are lots of wild cards. That's a home opener for Buffalo. And so on paper, I say that's a no chance. That's a no chance game. The 49ers on the road are a no chance game, but I don't look at the rest of those games because they're tough games. Detroit, it's at home, you know, I don't think Miami's good enough or have been consistent enough to say that that's a no chance game because they're hot and cold. The Jets at home, I don't think is a no chance. And yeah, that for me, that's literally it. Those are the only no chance games in my like ones where I'm writing those off.
Yeah, and for me, the ones that I don't want to say, you know, like you said, it's not no chance, but I would say the hardest ones for me are week 5 and 6 because it's back to back. That San Francisco game's going to be probably emotionally and physically exhausting. And so, and then you go to Green Bay, even though it's, you know, only halfway across the country, it's early and it'll still be an early morning game. So it'll just be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah. And then if you look at the games where we're like, should win, there's also not many of those games on the schedule. Like you say, okay, they should win. I see three that if you're looking at the schedule, what the Cardinals are, you see Commanders at home, you see Patriots at home, and probably Panthers on the road, but that being a road game, those three games are the ones I'm like, you should win, or you should win 2 out of 3.
Yeah, and that's, again, the hard part because, and you know, I wrote an article, and this will probably post after the article posts. In fact, I know it will because the article posts in about 30 minutes here. But I wrote an article, and I did say that Panthers game is one I'm excited to see. And the reason why is not because it's like, oh, the Panthers are going to be exciting in Week 16. It's because I want to see where the Arizona Cardinals are. Like, are they a team that is locked in, that is competing, and that on paper goes across the country and handles their business towards the end of the season when they you know, could be at 7-8 wins already, and they, you know, they have a real chance to be in the playoffs? Or is this a team that is still too young, still too immature, and then they go across the country and they're hanging on to their, you know, playoff lives with 7 wins, and they need to win 2 of their next 3, and you're like, well, hopefully they can get one from the Rams or Niners and then blow one against the Panthers? Like, I think this will tell us a lot about the culture, the team, everything that we've had these questions about, and put them in a position that hopefully, you know, we see, oh, the outcome that we want.
Other than that, I like the schedule. I like the schedule, honestly. I'm looking forward to that Bears game, just because there's going to be a lot of hype. There's a lot of hype for that Bears team with Caleb Williams. I'm not sure they're going to be as good as people think they're going to be. Caleb Williams even has a good year. He's still a rookie. I don't think he's CJ Stroud, and I don't think he's Andrew Luck. And those are, if you look at, you know, teams that we have that were bottom 10 teams in the league the previous year, and they draft a rookie quarterback first overall, you don't generally see them. You don't see teams be good. It just doesn't happen. It happened with Andrew Luck. It happened with CJ Stroud. But I don't think Caleb will, maybe he is, but I don't think he's quite at that level with his, you know, his skill set and his ability.
Yeah, and that'll be another one of the intriguing things to watch and kind of follow along with, because there is so much hype behind him and the expectation levels for him are so high. And, you know, they were clearly a quarterback away last year, and so now they draft a quarterback first overall, and, you know, are they going to improve on that, or was that a, you know, a fluke, you know, all of that stuff. And so that's going to be what's interesting to follow along with on that aspect of things, because it is a lot to ask and, like you said, expect a rookie to come in and just be that good.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Series podcast, the Best Star Cardinals Talk on the Web, let's move on to our final segment where we talk about, we're going to go make some predictions. It's irresponsible, but it's what we do when the schedule comes out. That's coming up next on Rise Up Series. We're back on the Rise Up Series podcast, the Best Star Cardinals Talk on the Web. It's time for irresponsible game-by-game predictions when basically the most people have done have barely started OTAs. Some teams have barely started OTAs, but we're going to make game-by-game predictions, and spoiler alert, I'm going to have the Cardinals in a position to make the playoffs. We'll talk about whether that happens. So let's go week by week, starting in week 1, that game and at Buffalo. I'm excited for it, but my expectations are loss. Would you have them losing or upsetting the Bills in this game?
Yeah, right now I have them losing. I just, you know, that's a tough opening week. And I think it'll tell us, you know, even a competitive loss will tell us what we want to hear or see about this team. You know, if they're unprepared and get blown out, which we really haven't seen in the Gannon era yet, then it'll be
the Rams game. The Rams home game last year was the ugliest game that we saw. We were like, wait, are they tanking? Are they? And then they turned around.
Well, no, they clearly were tanking. So
week 2. They come home. I have the Cardinals winning this game. They're going to beat the Rams on the road at home. So they're going to get that home opener win. They're going to bounce back from that ugly loss to the Rams, and they're going to get that first win off their back, you know, off their shoulders and out of the way. Do you have them taking that game as well?
I do. I have them winning that one, and you know, I think the emotional weight lifted of Aaron Donald being gone gets them over the hump.
Finally, week 3, competitive loss to the Lions. Because the Lions are good.
They're very good, and I'd like to see them get this win. I'll be interested to follow along, but yeah, right now I have this as a loss.
And then week 4, Commanders. So far, we're in lockstep. They're 1-2 heading into week 4. Their third game in a row at home against the Washington Commanders. I've got them getting the W there because I don't think Washington's that good. And
yeah, I'm with you on all of that. Like, I'm not impressed with what Washington is going to be right now, and I want to see more.
I mean, I'm excited for Gene Pickens. I want him to do well.
Yeah, I think everybody wants to see these guys do well. Nobody wants to see anybody fail. I mean, I know there are some ASU fans that may want him to fail, but for the most part, you know, nobody wants to see anybody just be awful.
Then they go on the road for two games, that tough stretch against the 49ers and the Packers. Guess what? I have them taking losses in both, and during that first six-week stretch, they are 2-4. Is there anything that happens differently with you?
No, ironically, those are the same.
Okay, so, and that's, you know, if we were to pick 3-3, we'd be edging on too optimistic, probably.
Yeah, definitely. I think it would be a little over the top hyped, but you know, I don't think 2-4 is over the top.
No, but what we do expect from this team is for them to move forward. And maybe if we're wrong, and then this whole process is a mess. So Week 7 coming back to town to play the Chargers on Monday Night Football. I have them winning that game. What about you?
I have them winning that game as well. I think this is a game where they can get, they can kind of establish what they are as a team. They get to 3-4 and they have a chance to get to 500 the next week in the first 8 weeks.
And going to Miami in Week 8. This is the game that they're going to steal. This is their steal game on the road this year. I think they steal that win in Miami in October, and they will even their record at 4-4 for me.
Yeah, and I still have them losing this one. So you go, across the country on a short week, early time game in one of the hardest cities to play in because of the nightlife around the city. So I'm going to go that they end up losing that one. And they sit now at 3-5
for you. 3-5 for me. And then Week 9 coming home against the Bears. I have them, you know, after that tough stretch, I have them winning 3 in a row. And I think they beat the Bears. That's one. It's not a steal game, but this is a game where if the Cardinals are competitive, they can do this one. It's a quality, a seemingly quality team, but they have more talent this year, and the Cardinals. So that defense is improved, so they're not terrible, and the offense is improved, and they're good. And so I have them winning their third game in a row, improving to 5-4.
Yeah, I have them winning and beating the Bears and kind of setting up an interesting 7-week stretch.
And the next game, Week 10, leading up to the bye week, in Week 10 at home, I see them taking a loss to the Jets, dropping them to 5-5 before the bye.
Yeah, and I have them beating the Jets right before the bye, so they're 5-5.
There's the bye week. They come off the bye week in Seattle. I'm not ready to predict road division wins yet. And so I have them taking a loss there. So after they won 3 in a row, they've now lost 2 in a row to drop to 5-6.
I have them losing this one as well. So that takes them to 5-6. But like I said, an interesting 7-week stretch. Well, yep. 8, including the bye for me.
In Week 13, on the road against Minnesota, I also have them taking a loss, so they go from winning 3 in a row to losing 3 in a row.
Yeah, and I have them beating the Vikings on the road. That's the road steal that I see this season.
Okay, so you have them 6-6, and I have them 5-7? Or is it yep. both? Is it both 5-7?
No, I'm now at 6-6.
Okay, and then they return home Week 14 against Seattle. They pick up a win to improve to 6-7. They're going to take that division home game to improve to 6-7.
Yeah, and I've got them winning as well. So now they're sitting at 7-6, and you know, like I said, have a chance to really potentially make a run into the playoffs.
They returning home for the second week, going that back to back at home. They got the Patriots. I got them winning that game, so they improved to 7-7, and things looking interesting for the Cardinals down the stretch. Well, you know, 14 games in to be 7-7 with, you know, so they got 3 games remaining. They're very much in the hunt, and this is exciting.
Yeah, and I have them winning this game. So, you know, now they're at 8-6. And, you know, like I said, they got a real shot now.
And on the road in Carolina, I have them. So if the season's gone. They win 3 games in a row. They lose 3 games in a row. Now I have them winning 3 games in a row again. They improved to 8-7, putting themselves in playoff position with a win over Carolina for the – you know, 2 divisional games over the last 2 weeks where they could control their own destiny and make the playoffs.
Yeah, and I have them winning that game as well. So that gets them to 9-6 on the season, coming into the last 2 games against, well, you know, division rivals.
And unfortunately, I don't think they're there yet. On the road against the Rams, again, I'm not predicting any road division wins. So they drop to... they drop to 8-8 with a home showdown against the 49ers. It's unclear at 8-8, they might be out of the picture, or it'll be at best, it'll be kind of a win plus a lot of help. And then I have them failing in the finale, the 49ers sweep. And so end up finishing 8-9. So they go 8-7, they're in position. And then they fail in their last 2 weeks to fall out of the playoffs just short. But playing meaningful, that week 18 game ends up being meaningful football for them.
Yeah, and I have them losing the final 2 weeks as well. You know, that gets them to 9-8. So we're just on flip sides of this whole thing. And
you might have them in the playoffs, and mine definitely, they would not be in the playoffs, most certainly.
Well, yeah, most of the time they wouldn't be in the playoffs at 8-9, but you never know. The NFL's wonky all the time. But I mean, this is a schedule that sets up for them to have a chance. And like I said, that 7-week stretch from week 7, and I know it's technically 9 weeks, but from week 7 to week 16 with their bye week, and you know, they're able to go 6-2 in those games and really turn it on. I think that's why I like what they have, but it's tough, man. I mean, the start of that season's tough. Going to be tough to win, tough to overcome some things. And then you throw in out of that bye week, that at Seattle, at Minnesota, versus Seattle, that's a tough 3-game stretch as well. So you've got some chunks of the schedule that could play, you know, havoc, or could give this team a chance. And that's, you know, you and I have said that from the beginning. That's all we care about, is that they have a chance.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's what we should expect this year. Now, if they come out of the gate, win 3 games, 4 games out of the first 6, well, then maybe we can take it up a notch. But I think that's kind of a reasonable way to go. You know, last year, everyone, you can laugh at me. It's fine. I predicted 7 wins. But I also predicted Kyler Murray would be back earlier than he was. I had him coming back. What was it?
The Ravens game, yeah.
Yeah, I actually had him coming back for the Rams. And,
oh, that's right, the week before the Ravens game.
Yeah, I had him coming back before then. And so had that happened, I think they would have had a different season. But, you know, when he didn't come back till after the Browns, you know. Yeah. Anyway, that'll wrap up this edition of the Rise Up Series podcast, Bizarre Cardinals Talk on the Web. This has been episode 542. Next week, as OTAs begin, we'll start to talk positional battles and things like that. And it looks like next week we will probably have one show, and then we might be on hiatus for a couple of weeks, as, you know, I'll be traveling and Seth's got stuff, and, you know, and then we'll get back together to talk mini camp, kind of wrap things up. So that's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Thanks for listening. As always, we'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red.